This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
The head coach at Duke is John Shire. Last time we spoke, I think I called you almost head coach. So I will start with another kind of a goofy question. Will you be coaching in the ACC?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're coaching the ACC until somebody tells us otherwise. So that's full steam ahead as far as we're concerned. And just trying to keep our head down, focus on the next practice, getting our team better. Really not, you know, too concerned or worrying about all this, you know, noise that's out there right now.
Yeah. What was your first thought, though, when the news broke? And then everybody after that looks at, all right, well, everything's falling apart. Where's everybody going? Everybody's playing a game of Risk. I don't know if you were a Risk player as a young man. You're still a young man, by the way. It's kind of frightening that I'm so much older than you. But what was your first thought when you heard about all this?
Well, it's, you know, look, there's been so much change in the college landscape since I've found out I was getting the head coaching job. And so really it's just par for the course, to be honest with you. And, you know, I found if you try to get too far out ahead, you know, with planning of where you're going to be, what college looks like too many years from now, you're going to be wrong. Because if any of us thought we'd be right here at this point a few years ago, so you need to adapt. And is it strange thinking about different schools and different conferences? Of course it is. Like it's just different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, honestly, I think we're going to get this sorted out here sooner rather than later in terms of the stability of the college, like I said, the college landscape. And I'm just really excited for year one, really excited to get going with our team. And I know we're in the ACC. I know that much.
I know recruiting has gone well, but I want to ask you about a guy who just left. Because I've caught the first two Paolo Banchero Summer League shows. And, I mean, I thought he was the best player in the draft. My only question was he going to be ultimately at the next level? Would he be quick enough to impact the game? I'm not sure why people are surprised that he's this good and this varied in terms of his skill set. But he looks like he's going to be a headache.
Yeah, his talent is clear. You know, I think people underestimate how big he is. You know, like he's all of 6'10", if not more. And to have guard skills of that size is just, it's hard to match up with. And then you add in how coachable he is, his feel for the game. That's where we felt, I mean, when teams would call us, like, look, you're getting the best player in the draft. And I think Orlando felt that. They saw that's why they drafted him. And then through a couple games of Summer League, you know, you have to – take everything with a little bit grain of salt because it's different than the regular games. Sure. But I think he's shown why he is the best player in the draft.
Yeah, they didn't even work him out. So what a game of possum they played.
They sure did. It was a lot of moving parts down the stretch, and I wasn't in the loop for everything, but I had some understanding or knowledge. And you know, Paolo, I mean, he was end of the day was really excited to go one, really excited to go to Orlando. And Orlando did a great job of just looking at every option, doing their homework, doing their research. And, you know, look, I'm biased, but I definitely feel they made the right decision there.
Look, he's a young guy. Orlando, Disney, Epcot Center. I mean, why not? John Shire, Duke coach, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I don't want to make this too much about, like, some past things, but I am curious. Thinking back, how much pressure was on those guys last year because of the circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, look, those are some circumstances that nobody else, you know, as far as any teams have gone, have been put in. And almost all of it was exciting and amazing. And then on the flip side, there's just more eyes on you. So when you fail or lose or have a setback, it becomes a bigger deal. So I don't think any of our guys would have changed it for the world. I mean, an amazing time, but it was different. Like it just was. And so, you know, fell for him at the end, you know, with the outcome, but to be in that moment, like that's what you dream about as a player.
All right. Tongue in cheek question, because it's not completely serious, but is there a way back for Duke in the rivalry with UNC?
Come on, man. Of course, course, you can make whatever you want out of one game. And, you know, the rivalry, when you look over, you know, the years and years of big-time games, environments, like, you don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, credit them for winning, you know, last year. But, of course, there's, you know, a long way to go.
I mean, the rivalry is not going to go away unless, of course, they go to the SEC and you guys go to the Big Ten, and then you guys never meet again.
I have a funny feeling we're going to be seeing each other for quite some time.
I agree. All right, so now tell me how your summer has changed with now that you're not almost head coach, you are head coach.
Yeah, you know, it's changed just in terms of, you know, you're the one ultimately that's having the final say on what we're doing. You know, you're not making suggestions, you're making decisions. And it's been a lot of fun having our team here. We don't quite have our entire group. Tyrese Proctor is still in Australia. Mm-hmm. And then Jacob Grandison is still coming off an injury right now. We don't have those two guys, which would be, both of them will be really important for us. But just, this summer is about getting a feel, you know, for, we have a lot of new players. We have new staff, of course. And so just getting to know one another, pushing each other, understanding, you know, the things that we could do better from last year, what was really good we have to continue to do. So it's been exciting. It's what, you know, look, there's a lot of things that come with this job, but being on the floor with our guys is what's, you know, my favorite part.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can, they want to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. John Shire is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. What was behind, I mean, I think I know, but I want you to describe it, hiring essentially a GM. You've also brought in a sitting head coach to kind of be another pair of eyes for you. So walk me through those types of decisions.
Yeah, well, you know, any decision that we've made, I've, you know, wanted to be really methodical and do my homework and make sure that the decisions are well thought out because they're important. And just in the changing landscape of, you know, college athletics, one, for me, a first-time head coach, having a Mike Scioggi with his experience, you know, is valuable. He's done literally anything you can imagine in, you know, college basketball world. He's, you know, video. He's done ops. He's been an assistant coach at three other high major places, and he's been a head coach. So that's incredible. And, you know, Rachel Baker's experience in grassroots basketball and in the NBA, you know, with the world we're in, it's bigger than basketball. Her expertise is, you know, incredibly valuable. And Jay Lucas, who we brought in, you know, one, he has amazing Durham ties and connections with, you know, his family, his mom and dad, his grandfather, grandmother. There's a, so he, this is ultimately home for him. This is his family's home. And he understands everything that Duke basketball is about and the city of Durham. And then just his expertise being at, you know, two high major programs in Texas, Kentucky, working with three, you know, big time coaches and Rick Barnes, Shaka Smart, and, you know, Coach Cal. So honestly, I couldn't be more excited about the group. And then you can't forget, we have an amazing infrastructure here that's been here. So there's the institutional knowledge and there's the chemistry and connection with me. So I feel like a lucky guy, gives me great confidence moving forward, and we need to continue to adapt and adjust.
John Shire is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Who would have gotten the most NIL money from your championship team?
Man, I have No idea. NIL at that time was like a foreign, you know, foreign out. You have no idea what that would have been. But I don't know. I feel like Singler would have had some stuff, man. You know, Singler could have. I can't think off the top of my head, but just some, you know, like hard hat companies where you know, just where you.
Not Zubek, not Brian Zubek. All the pastry companies in Jersey would have been all over.
No. Actually, Zubek would have gone some great, you know, like anything with a beard, you know, or, you know, beard products, you know, and, you know, he could have really killed it with that.
Does what's his name? I forget his name. Still hang around the gym?
I don't know who what's his name is. So that's
you know, the Coach K guy.
Oh, Coach and I, I mean, we see each other a good amount and he's here and. He's around, but also he's doing his thing. So it's been a great balance that we're, as we go along and, fortunate that I have him still. So it's been great.
Has he invited you on the radio show yet?
Yeah, actually I went on after the season. So yeah, it was, that was my first time. We had, I was an honored guest, honored to be on.
is he a good interviewer?
Honored to be on your show.
No, well, thank you very much for even pretending.
Better than you. I'm just say better than you. With
see?
Some of the questions you're asking.
Now you are becoming him. Because that's exactly what he, that's fine, by the way. That's exactly what he does. I appreciate the needle. I've always appreciated the needle from Coach. Because, and by the way, do I call you Coach or I call you John or do I call you Mr. Shire? What do I do? I want to get this right. Coach Prime?
You can call me whatever you want.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
No, but so to me that was always a sign of, I don't know if respect is the right word, but maybe more acceptance that you know, I understand what you do. So I appreciate the needle. So that you just made my day. Coach John Shire. I have a news of the day question for you. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver came out and said that he was going to advocate to lower the draft age, the limit, back to 18. In other words, right out of high school, you're okay to go. How will that impact, would that impact what you do, how you recruit?
Yeah, of course it has an impact. And just like if you look at the evolution of our program and, you know, Coach K, I mean, you think about the success that he's had. Really, he's adapted many, many times. And there's these iterations you go through where, you know, when I was in high school, you were able to go out right away. And then the last year, I was the first draft class where they changed the rules. So that's why my class, that's why Kevin Durant's going to college. Mm-hmm. And so is it different having a Kevin Durant in college versus not in college? Of course it does. Strategy changes just like it has the past couple of years. They still have professional opportunities, you know, kids from high school where they can go G League and overtime elite, these other options. So we'll continue to adapt and, you know, we feel like, you know, for our program, we'll be really successful and figure it out. Whatever the path is, what we have to alter, we'll adjust to whatever the rules are at that time. But no question, there'll be change.
John Shire, before we let you go, a serious question, if you don't mind, because I saw you tweet about it, what happened in suburban Chicago on 4th of July. I know it touched you, but that isn't your hometown, right? You grew up close to there, right?
Yes, the neighboring town next to where I grew up from is where Highland Park is, exactly.
So what, I mean, I understand why it touched you, but why did it move you to take to social media?
Well, you know, I think there's a, you know, like I'm a father of three and, you know, my kids are growing up going to school and you see what happens at Uvalde and, you know, you think about Highland Park. I mean, my family was going to the parade later that day in Northbrook, which is right next door. And, you know, it's just a reminder that this is happening everywhere. I mean, there's everywhere in the country. And so I don't think it's anything, you know, that's this huge statement other than this has to stop. Like, why wouldn't we stop when kids are being killed? And so, you know, I'm not making a political stand or anything like that. I'm simply saying, you know, what are the solutions here? There has to be some solutions. And so it was heartbreaking. I feel horrible for the families. I feel horrible I mean, there's people that I know that were shot that day. And, you know, they're still obviously physically, but mentally what that's going to do for all those families going forward, I feel horrible for all of them. So just my sympathies go out to any family that's been, whether it's in Highland Park, Uvalde, Chicago, anywhere. It's a horrible epidemic right now in our country that we're dealing with more than anyone, more than anybody in the world.
John Shire, Duke head coach, still in the ACC, last check. I appreciate your time. Have a great summer. We'll talk to you again maybe as we get closer to the basketball season. Be well.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having me on.
Love checking in with John Shire. Call him John. Call him Coach. Coach Shire. Coach Prime. Doesn't matter.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina, listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
It is NHL Free Agent Wednesday. Chip Patterson, by the way, at the top of the hour. So we're going to have fun with Chip because we always have fun with Chip. Might work in a little open championship, but there's a lot of college sporting things to discuss, including why is the Big 12 in denial? Talk about that. Talk about where we are at this stage of the game, but we'll get to that coming up in about 11 minutes.
Are they the only ones in denial?
Like the Pac-12 isn't trying to expand, right?
I thought they were.
Yeah, the Pac-12 can't regenerate. Not without the two heavyweights.
Can we go back to calling them the Pac-10?
We can, actually. Right now they're at 10.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even if the Pac-12 added San Diego State and Boise State, it's you're missing Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you survive that.
You don't.
You really don't. To this point, the Atlantic Coast Conference is being held together by that grant of rights, and we'll see how many schools decide to challenge it, and they might. But ultimately, there's nobody out there to add that really increases your value. That's the problem for everybody. The only piece that really increases your value is Notre Dame. That's it. I mean, I can't even think of a school from the Big 12 or the Pac or the Pac whatever, however many teams there are, that increases the ACC's value enough to the point where you would add them. They have to be worth as many, you know, essentially as many teams as you have times 10 million. So or maybe not quite 10 million, but does any team pay for itself? I think the answer to that, other than Notre Dame, is probably no. All right, so real quick, here's where we are as free agency moves on. Max Domi, we'll start with the former Hurricanes.
Oh, okay.
Max Domi to Chicago, 1 year, $3 million, which, okay. I was not a fan of Max Domi. I said this during podcasts, Canes Corner podcasts, available wherever you get your podcasts. I was disappointed for the second year in a row at Carolina's performance at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in a row, the Hurricanes didn't get better. Didn't. None. I'm not, there's a lot of teams that tried and failed anyway. Only one team can win the cup. But for the second year in a row, Carolina did not move the needle at the trade deadline. Didn't do it. Max Domi was just a guy. He didn't impact the team. Yes, he had a game seven. He actually had about a 12-minute stretch of game seven.
He had a nice moment.
But that was it. That was it. Domi wasn't that good. So Domi to there you go. Domi to Chicago, 1 year, $3 million. Ian Cole, Tampa, 1 year, $3
million. Bye, Felicia.
You say Felicia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just want to make sure. Brendan Smith to New Jersey, 2 years, $1.1 million. Vincent Trocheck to the Rangers, 7 years, $5.625 million.
Bruh.
7 years?
Nope.
7 years?
Yep. Enjoy the last 4 years of that deal.
Whatever. And like I said before, Vincent Trocheck, based on where he was playing in the lineup for Carolina, needed to be better. He needed to be better. That's not to say he's not a good player, but he needed to be better. And if he were better, I think Carolina would have figured out a way to keep him, but didn't work out. Other signings, Andrew Kopp to Detroit, 5 years, $5.625. I wonder if Kopp and Trocheck have the same agent, because $5.625 million average annual value is there. Claude Giroux to Ottawa, three times, $6.5 million. Jack Campbell, goalie, from Toronto to Edmonton, 5 years, $5 million. Robert Thomas re-signs with St. Louis, great young player, 8 years, $8.13 million. Nick Leddy, defenseman, to St. Louis, four times four. So that's where we are in all of that.
Here we go. Sharks Hurricanes trade. Got a little breaking news here for you. This is Pierre LeBrun. Broke just a couple minutes ago. Brett Burns and Lane Peterson for Stephen Lawrence, goalie prospect Etu Makaniemi, and a conditional 2023 third-round pick. Sharks are retaining 33% of Burns' contract. So, again, Brent Burns and Lane Peterson for Stephen Lawrence, goalie prospect Etu Makaniemi, and a conditional 2023 third-round pick. Sharks retaining 33% of that contract.
Lane Peterson is a forward who will replace Stephen Lawrence on the roster. Who knows? Maybe I'm not even sure he makes the roster. He's got...
Yeah, 1 year at $750,000 left on his deal.
Right, but he played 29 games in the NHL last year with just two assists, which is not that much below what Stephen Lawrence was providing. Lawrence was a super kid who I'm not sure was ever going to be anything more than a fourth line guy. So that's the deal.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.